Good morning, RW Meet. It is Easter Sunday, April 24th, 2011. Now, for this Easter Sunday, I had to keep a couple things in consideration when recording this episode. Number one, I have to do it for the second week in a row in a little bit of a hurry because we are all packing to head up to Michigan to see some family for Easter Sunday. And number two, this episode you're listening to right now is actually our 10th episode of Sugared Tomatoes. So I wanted to do something to celebrate that occasion, so I started thinking to myself, what could we do to mark this event? And looking back on some of our older posts, there's a lot of segments that we used to do that have kind of fallen by the wayside, and I'm not saying that our new stuff is any better or worse than those segments, but it's good every once in a while to throw them back in the rotation, which is why today's episode of Sugared Tomatoes comes to you in 7 segmented parts. Part 1, the top 5 presidential pieces of facial hair. Part 2, a reading or two. Part 3, Crisis on Infinite Shakespeare's. Part 4, I'd go as sexual for Senator Stacey Canfield and Representative Bill Dunn. Part 5, book review time. Part 6, the big question. And part 7, last comic standing. So it seems like all of my best segments on here have started with an anecdote about my choir class. So let's continue that tradition right now. I was in our choir class the other day, and as I said, we get subs for choir quite often, and we seem to attract the craziest of people. And this guy, he was not crazy for once. He was a perfectly sane teacher. But I trudge in there at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I take one look at him, and I swear that he's birthing a gremlin out of the lower third of his face. This guy had the most massive, manly beard that I have ever seen anyone have in my life. So I turn to one of my friends, and I say, dude, this guy has some major beard action going on. And he says, I know. So we're both thinking about this guy's incredibly awesome beard all the way up until social studies class, which got me thinking about all the great bearded people who have populated our history. Now, before you think I'm completely crazy, which you probably already do, let me point out that a lot of people, whether you're Democrat, Republican, somewhere in between, have pointed out that the magic seems to have been lost from this current crop of politicians. People have been complaining about this for years and years. People complained about Clinton, people complain about Bush, people complain about Obama. And I would like to present that the reason why we can't rally behind these people is because they are not birthing a massive gremlin of hair from the lower third of their face. Now, you're saying, well, what awesome presidents have had a beard? I'm going to answer that question for you right now by counting down the top 5 most amazing presidential pieces of facial hair. Now, I'm not going to judge these presidents based on character or policy or anything, because that's a whole different discussion. What I'm going to judge these candidates on is solely what grows out of their face. To that end, let's start with our first pick, which is President number 18, Ulysses S. Grant. Now, the reason I picked Ulysses to start off our list, and they are in order, by the way, is because the poor guy, he was 2 presidents after Abraham Lincoln, who has perhaps the most iconic presidential beard in history. Now, Andrew Jackson, who we'll no doubt talk about in the future on this podcast because I hate his guts so much, was too much of a wimp to go with the bearded look after Lincoln. He seemingly just threw up his hands and ran for the hills, saying, "I cannot possibly touch that manly of a beard." But Ulysses S. Grant gets my pick for carrying the torch of the presidential beard. And granted, it's more like presidential 5 o'clock shadow. He's got that whole rugged Clint Eastwood look going on. Like he was trying to grow a beard, but not trying too hard. It was just something he threw together on a Sunday afternoon. So that is why Ulysses S. Grant is our number 5 spot. In our number 4 spot, we've got Chester A. Arthur, who is president number 21. Now, I don't know much about Chester A. Arthur, but what I do know is that whatever Jamie Hyneman from the Mythbusters looks like when he's 65, that's probably going to be what this guy ends up looking like. Because, yes, he has kind of a loss of hair from the sides of his face, but that whole walrus handlebar mustache that this guy has going on is something to be commended. And the fact that he can look fierce leaning against that marble column that he's leaning against and not look like a complete laughingstock, that is something that deserves praise. So that is why our number 4 spot is going to go to Chester A. Arthur. Our number 3 spot will go to number 20, the president before Mr. Arthur, who was James A. Garfield. Now, other than being named after a cartoon cat, James A. Garfield gets major points here for having potentially the biggest beard in terms of does it cover 2/3 of his face or not. I swear, this thing is like a parasite on his face. It's like, the man is not controlling the beard. The beard is controlling the man. There's like a schizophrenic voice talking to him through his follicles. And through that, I would trust this guy to lead me into any battle. Because he's got a constant weapon. He could like smother people with his beard. Just go off riding his horse in the middle of the night and kidnap all the bad guys and save America with the awesome power of his facial hair. So that is why our number 3 spot goes to James Garfield. Our number 2 spot goes to president number 23, who was Benjamin Harrison. Now, that kind of sounds like a law firm to me, so that's your first mark against this guy. But the great thing about this guy and what I like about him, he looks exactly like my grandpa. And I don't mean my grandpa as in, like, the biological grandpa that I have. But when you think your all-American image of that kindly grandpa who goes from street corner to street corner, handing out money and candy to starving orphans while he dances that he's got a golden ticket, you think Benjamin Harrison. I mean, all that's missing is the corn cob pipe and the button nose, and we've got Frosty the Snowman here. I mean, he was probably not good at intimidation and foreign policy, but just looking at this guy, I just want to give him a hug and say, keep on trucking, old man. Go America. Which leads us to our number 1 spot in this countdown. Now, there should be no question who the number 1 person on a list of bearded presidents should be. I mean, if you don't know this, shame on you. Shame on you, shame on you. It is our 16th president, Abraham Lincoln. When you think of the iconic bearded president, I can guarantee you, you think Abraham Lincoln. Even without his hat that he's always so iconically pictured with, this guy looks like he's ready to take on the world. In the presidential portrait of him, he's even in your classic thinker pose, as if he can just, like, hold the nation together if he thinks hard enough about it. This guy is a paragon of philosophy, rational thought, of being able to keep a level head in the midst of adversity. And both him and his awesomely trimmed beard show that. Now, I'm sure there's some fringe fan base on the internet who tracks presidential beards and has a bunch of vile, vehement things to throw at me about this list. So if I left anyone out of my list of presidential beards, or I put somebody in who does not even deserve a Gillette razor, please let me know down in comments. But I hope you enjoyed Sugared Tomatoes' countdown of the top 5 most manly follicle bearers.